D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL insider, who is presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Hello, Elliot. How are you?
Good. I hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you. We are doing well, except for the fact that Willie's in Sunrise, Florida, and rubbing it in that it's 80 degrees Fahrenheit there, while it's 30 degrees Fahrenheit here. I don't even know how cold it is in Toronto. It's probably even colder. So Willie's being kind of -5. But otherwise, oy, yikes.
Yeah. Ooh, I want to be there.
That's I would much rather be here than there.
Exactly.
That anyway. Meteorology aside,
like I got to tell you guys, I would much rather be where you are than where I am when it comes to this.
I suppose so. But Elliot, we know Barry Trotz is keeping his options open in regards to trades. But there are a couple of other teams, specifically Calgary and Vancouver, in similar situations. We often talk about buyers in arms races. Is there whatever the opposite of arms race among sellers? Like, is there a sense of urgency between those GMs to get something done, knowing that they all have players that buyers will covet?
I think there are some teams that would like to do things. Like Vancouver, which is another team that's really struggling, is absolutely a team that would like to do things. They sent out a memo last week. Everybody kind of found out about it. And therefore, it's a situation where now everybody knows the Canucks want to do stuff, and their GM, Jim Rutherford, he's not the GM, he's the president of hockey ops. He has a history of going fast. Like, when he says, I want to do something, he does it. And I don't think it's going to happen as quick as he would like. I don't think he's gotten yet the offers that he wants, but I think one of the problems out there, guys, is that there's just so many teams still in it, particularly in the East. When you hear about the absolute sellers, it's Nashville, it's Calgary, it's Vancouver, but they don't have a lot of partners right now. And I think so that's one of the challenges. And the other one, like a team like Toronto, which wants to make quote-unquote hockey trades, like we'll consider some guys on our roster and we'll trade you for guys on your roster. They don't have really a lot of things that people are really killing themselves to trade for. So I think that that's the challenge right now. Is it's like a prom, Adam. You know, you ask, but someone's got to say yes. And right now, people are asking, but no one's saying yes.
This may come as a shock to you, but I didn't go to any proms. Nobody said yes.
You know what? I got to say this. I got to tell you this, too. I did not go to mine either because I had just broken up with someone and someone else asked her and I was like, I am not going to go put up with that. Like that I was the same. And I got to tell you, like 37 years later, I had opportunities to go with others. I wish I would have, but I didn't at the time.
That's okay. You turned out just all right, Elliot. So
just all right, Elliot. No, just all right.
I meant to say you turned out more than all right. Not just all right.
You
can't take it back.
All right, too.
Can't take it back.
Just all right. It doesn't sound good. Yes.
I meant more than all right. More than all right. Okay. Back on track. We asked Barry Trotz on Tuesday about Ryan O'Reilly. He did not deny that the asking price for O'Reilly is high and could require a first-round pick and a top prospect. Have you heard about any specific teams that are poking around O'Reilly right now?
I think there's a few. And I think that one of the things that's kind of happened is even though O'Reilly doesn't have, as we've talked about this at length, how he doesn't have a no trade, they treat him like one. So, you know, one of the things that happened earlier this year, Adam, was people thought that Nazem Kadri had a full no trade, and they found out it had changed this year to 13 teams. So everybody was trying to find out, okay, am I on that list or not? And I think that's the same thing that's happening with O'Reilly. I think people are trying to figure out, is it even worth going down this road? Because if we go through it, will that mean that Ryan O'Reilly doesn't want to come here? So I think that the teams that kind of are that, they, you know, if you look at O'Reilly's history, I think people think that It's not necessarily the loudest market, but somewhere where there's a good hockey team, but, you know, it doesn't have a ton of media and a ton of noise around it. One of the teams I know that's really liked O'Reilly and has for some time is New Jersey. And I just think that that's a team there who, until O'Reilly goes somewhere else, I think that they he's not going to be traded. I think New Jersey would be one. I think that we've also wondered about teams like Florida, but Florida right now, like, they haven't declared Barkov out for the season. And until they do that, I don't think they would be able to do it. I also am not convinced that Florida would have what New Jersey would want. It's tougher for us, or what Nashville would want. It's tougher for them to make the deal. But the one team I always kind of know about with you guys is New Jersey, because I know they've liked O'Reilly for some time.
Elliot, I do want to ask you about a former Predators player who is in the rumor mill, Kiefer Sherwood. It seems inevitable that he will be traded, and I'm curious what it will take for a team to acquire him. He got off to a great start. He slowed down, but he's a playoff-style player, all-time hits record in a single season. So what are you hearing about Sherwood and what it will take for a team to get him?
Well, number one, I kind of wonder if we could go back in time and we had that power, if Nashville would have kept him. Things, we always have 20/20 hindsight. There's always things that managers do right. There's always things that managers do wrong. Nobody's perfect. And I have, as I've watched what's happened over the past couple of years, if the Predators had a time machine, would Kiefer still be here? And they would say, all right, we should have done this. I think one of the reasons he's struggling right now, Adam, is that it's weighing on him a lot. He was on a shooting percentage heater. He was shooting 30% earlier in the season. That wasn't going to continue, and there was going to be some correction. But I do think all of this noise has kind of gotten to him a bit. I do think that they asked Philadelphia about Owen Tippett. I think that's true. I don't think Philadelphia has interest in doing that. I don't think that's going to happen. But I do think that they have kind of looked at like-minded players for Sherwood. They're trying to ask for the best possible player they could get in return plus. I think they would, barring that, I think they would look at a first-round pick. I think they would prefer a young player who has been in the NHL and is NHL-ready, if not been in the NHL. I don't think you would expect to get as much for O'Reilly, but I don't think you would expect to get as much as Nashville's asking for O'Reilly. But the thing that really determines that is supply and demand. And I think there's a lot of interest in Sherwood, but I think if they could get an NHL player, a young NHL player like Tippett's a good example for him, they would do it. The other thing too here that I think it's a real challenge, Adam, is the question is who wants to re-sign Sherwood and who wants to use him as a rental. And I think most of the teams that are looking at him would want him as to keep him. I think there's very few that see him as a rental. And if you can get permission to talk to him and you can keep him, I think the price would obviously go up. And that's why an NHL player in return is being discussed.
Elliot Friedman is with us. 32 Thoughts, Hockey Night in Canada. Elliot, Steven Stamkos hit the 1,200-point mark the other day. And, you've covered a lot of athletes. You've even had outside perspective covering other sports like the NBA. One thing that I really admire is I've watched Stamkos, and the Nashville fans haven't seen the greatness, right? They haven't seen him at his best. So it's been a little bit of a disappointment all the way around. But I have really admired how he handles himself through all of these interviews. He does them all. He is always insightful. And, he knows the questions are coming and they're not, hey, you're so great, right? So when he has a moment like that, I'm really happy for him. He's played better here the last five or six games. He's showing some signs of life. But you've seen him in the heyday, covering Stanley Cup finals and things like that. That's what I think has shown through, even though he's gone through some struggles here.
You know, I have to say this about him, Willie. You know, he's never hid. Never. Good times, bad times, he's never hid. You know, I've dealt with him a lot. He was obviously a number one pick, a huge prospect in his time, his draft year. And his first season went really badly. Really badly for him, especially at the beginning. And throughout all of that, he never ran away. And I've always had a ton of respect for him. I've always been a huge fan of his. And you're recognizing that for him. I think the other thing about Stamkos, though, is that he has had a ton of really bad injuries. And I think that, as much as anything else, has robbed him of what, if some of it is age, but I think some of it is also the mileage on his body. And he's got one of the best shots in hockey history. He was an incredible skater. He was incredibly determined. And the other thing I'd say about Stamkos is he's a really popular, a really popular teammate. Like the amount of players that spoke very highly of Stamkos as a captain, how he was a welcoming guy, it was off the charts. Like he was just, there were a lot of people who, when he was going through really difficult times, Willie, they would always say, like, you can criticize him as a player, that happens, but you can never criticize him as a person. And, you know, I just think that a lot of traumatic injuries and a lot of challenges have kind of robbed them of, I think have kind of taken a toll on his body and affected how he can be as a player. And unfortunately, I think that's happened in Nashville. But, you know, I watched him earlier this year, Willie, go net front on power play. And I never thought I would ever see that day, but he had to, you know, you have to try new things, and he did it. And, I think at the very least, he's shown that his ego is not too big to try different things to help the team.
Now, I do think that's a big theme of what they've tried to work with him on, is trying to evolve a little bit, try to find a few new things to see if that can bring him to another level. Elliot, you know, one of the worst things you can say about a team is that they don't get along. It's a toxic environment. There was a report that came out. And I don't know if you heard Barry Trotz's quote. We have to credit David James, our producer.
I listened to Barry's response.
To the bleep button in time and saying that report was bull. He went into a sort of a passionate answer about why he disagreed with that. But, like, how does that strike you when you see a story like that?
You know, I just think this. Losing sucks. You know, Willie, like, losing sucks. And nobody's happy when a team is losing. And is it the most toxic environment in the league? I can't say that for sure. I'm not there. But, you know, the one thing I would say is that everybody hates to lose. And if you're, you know, Derek, you've been in a professional locker room for a long time. If people are happy losing, I don't want to be around those people. And I would say this. I would think that, Is it as harmonious as it could be? No, because the results aren't there. But is it absolutely terribly toxic? I can't say that either. I would just bet it is. Just imagine if you were in a room where, like, I mean, you got, like, Derek, like, I mean, sorry, Willie, like, you kind of live it in a way. Like, you're there, right? Remember last
right.
year when the puck dropped and how excited you were about the Nashville Predators? And look at where we are a year and a half later. Nobody's happy. The fans aren't happy. There's no way the organization's happy. Andrew Burnett isn't happy. The players aren't happy. Barry Trotz isn't happy. The new owner isn't happy. And it's not going to be a happy place because of the losing and the disappointment. But I look at that as, like I said, I would be disappointed if it wasn't like that. And I'm not saying it's super toxic or terribly toxic, but I don't expect it to be happy.
Right. You could be. There's a difference between being angry, determined, disappointed and it being toxic. Toxic has got a different connotation to me.
Well, the thing is, like, I'm always careful about things like that, Willie, like, because I'm not there. Like, if it was in Canada or it was a team I was around a lot more, I think I could have a better pulse. Like, geography is not something that allows me to be around the Predators full time. Now, I'll say this. If I was around there a lot more, I think I would be able to answer that a lot better. But the thing is, too, is that I think Barry had to say what he did say the other day. He has to come out and say that that's not the case. And I think, and I would expect that if I delivered that report or I said that, I would expect Barry Trotz to come out and say, that's not true. Like, I went through a situation a couple weeks ago. I reported that Svechnikov from Carolina had indicated earlier in the season that, you know, he would be willing to be traded if he wasn't, if he was going to stay on the fourth line. And he came out a couple days later and said that was completely not true. Now, I don't want to get into a war of words with him. I stand by what I said, and I gave him equal time. I made sure I posted his response. But I have to recognize that when I'm reporting that, there is a chance someone is going to come out and say, you are completely full of it. And you know what? You can't expect any different.
Elliot, you followed the Luke Evangelista hold out for a good while. It's kind of interesting how he has started to play, and O'Reilly has a lot to do with it. He's been playing with Ryan O'Reilly, and recently they put Steven Stamkos up on that line, and he's played better. So the common denominator is O'Reilly. Andrew Brunette was telling us today, everybody wants to play with O'Reilly because he's such a classy player.
He's that good.
But they sort of fight over who gets to play with him because they're not as deep at center. But Evangelista's put together probably his best stretch of hockey of his career here, and so it's interesting to see that through the fire here, he looks like he's going to be a good investment.
Well, you know, I mentioned his name on your show. I must have been 2 weeks ago, and I got a couple of texts about it, like Evangelista question mark. And I think kind of what's happened is, first of all, you're right. He has played a lot better, and to me, it's always the best way to. There's two ways out of your problems. You can trade your problem or you can solve your problem. It's always better to solve your problem rather than trade it. That's number one. Number two, you know, I think that, but the one thing I do believe is that not only were the Predators looking at the market value of some of their veterans, but they were also looking at some guys in sort of like Evangelista's age group. And I was led to believe he was one of them. And, like, none of the kids, like the guys that Barry came on and said, like the Kemmels and guys who were going to play, none of those guys. But the guys kind of in Evangelista's age group and him. And I think probably some of that had to do with some leftover disappointment and also the fact that he hadn't been playing right now or very well. But, you know, I mean, there's two ways you can look at this. Either people are going to look at him and say, you know what? He plays well with good players. Maybe we would be interested in seeing what Nashville wanted for him. Or the better way is Nashville looks and says, he's playing well with good players. He's still young. You know what? We'll handle this ourselves.
Elliot, before we let you go, I do have a question about the Olympics. So for those who have not been paying attention, there are concerns about the status of the arena for the games in Italy. The ice surface is like, what, 3 or 4 feet shorter than a regulation NHL rink. What's the NHL's level of concern at the moment? Any indication that they would pull out of this based on the status of the arena?
I think right now, like, this is a big miss by the IOC and the IIHF to let this get to this point. I think it's kind of amazing, actually. I don't think they're going to pull out right now. Like, it's too important to the players. You're really going to, like, I think this thing is going to be ready on time. It's just going to be a question of, could look really nice on the, it's like a house, Adam, could look really nice on the outside. What's underneath? I'll say this. I think at the end of the day, the biggest concern, Adam, is going to be about the quality of ice. That's going to be the issue that is going to be of concern here. And I think more than the dimensions and more than the rink itself, like I have to think, Adam, that on some level they've called around and said, what's our backup plan? Where can we go? But I'm told the IOC is like, no, there is no backup plan. We're going to be, this is going to be ready and they're going to play. And that's going to be, that's where we stand right now. I think they, until they're told. And the other thing too, is if you ask players, Adam, they're so jacked up to play in the Olympics. They'll like tell them like, if you want to put us at the corner of like just outside on Broadway and we have to play the Olympics on Broadway right next to your arena and next to Tootsie's, they'll do it.
Sportsnet NHL insider Elliot Freeman, who is more than just all right, has been our guest on D-Mates, Ving and Adonik. He joins us every Thursday during hockey season. Elliot, thank you for joining us as always.
I can hear the Kenny Loggins song, I'm All Right, from Caddyshack playing right now.
I'm reliving my 1988 breakup. That was a tough one, man.
I'm sorry, Elliot. I'm sorry about that. You are more than just all right. You're the best in the business. Thank you, as always, for joining us. We'll catch up next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
615-737-1025. We will react to what Elliot had to say. I've also been meaning to get to something that Jeffrey Simmons said after the Titans lost to the Jags over the weekend. We will get to that next as well. 615-737-1025. Saturday's college football game of the week. Number 2 Indiana versus number 1 Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game on 94.9 The Fan at 7 o'clock. Coverage is presented by Circus Sportsbook Kentucky and is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com.